Good morning, everybody. Welcome to your church. Well, this morning I'm joined by my wife, Fatima, who is there at the back, just with me to enjoy this beautiful place of yours and at the same time minister to you while we are away from our home church in Winnipeg. Anybody who knows Winnipeg, you know Winnie the Pooh, right? Aside from the cold weather, we're famous for Winnie the Pooh. So if that's a Winnipeg history, so I hope that you got that in your notes. Point number one, Winnie the Pooh was discovered in Winnipeg. That's it. End of my message. Well, you know what? I'm saddened by, you know, the absence of Pastor Rob and family here. But why don't we just, I would like to start with a prayer for them. We'll just bow down our heads and pray for Pastor Rob and his daughter and his wife. Father, we thank you that you are a loving God. You are our Heavenly Father. And you care about us, Lord. You cared about our lives, our situations, and what we're going through. And I just pray for Pastor Rob and his wife and their daughter. I pray that you will be there in the hospital with them. That you will wrap your arms around them and comfort them and minister to them. And we pray, Lord, in agreement that you will heal his daughter right now and touch her body from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. And we just commit this time of, you know, of hearing your words. And I pray, God, that you will speak and minister to each and every one of us today. Thank you, God. This is your body. Please build us up. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus told his disciples to have faith in God. That was after Peter was shocked at what happened to the fig tree that Jesus cursed just the day before. And Jesus responded in saying that anything is possible. Anything can, you know, especially, of course, in the will of God, according to the will of God, when you have faith in God. When Jesus said that, he was talking about the revelation of the truth of who God is or who God was in the Old Testament. There was no New Testament yet. You got that? So Jesus said, have faith in the truth of the revelation of who God is as written in the New, in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, it took, you know, a particular situation in the life of a particular person in order to reveal who God is. And it took like thousands of years to complete that. Nowadays, we have the benefit of a Bible from cover to cover to know God in the fullness of what he wants to be revealed to or to be known by people. You got this? And all we have to do is read the Bible. All we have to do is open up our hearts to him and say, God, reveal yourself to me. Now, God is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. So whatever was revealed in the Old Testament, the whole revelation of who God is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. But interestingly, how he was revealed in the Old Testament in certain particular situations can apply to us because we all go through difficult situations. We all go through circumstances in life that may be the way he revealed himself to a certain person, to a group of people, would apply to us at a moment of our need or a moment of transition, whatever that might be. And so in order to have faith in God, which is critical to the quality of life that God wants us to have and the future that God has in mind for us to pursue and to enjoy, not just in this life, but also in eternity, we need to get to know the God of our fathers, the God of the Bible. You got it? Get to know him. And in the process, when we know him, then we can actually have the ability to make a decision to put our faith and trust in him. It's not just belief. You know, one of the sobering scriptures in the Bible is found in the book of James, where the Bible says, you know, the devils, you know, demons believe in God. They believe in the existence of God. And they even tremble. But they are rebels. They do not obey God. You got it? You can have a belief as to the existence of God, but it doesn't mean that you trust God and enjoy the benefits of trusting God. You got it? Okay? You know, I'm Pentecostal, so I want some responses here. I'm in a terrorist Pentecostal assembly. Am I right? You know, so I'm just going to be checking some Pentecostal boxes here. Just to be sure I'm in a Pentecostal church. You know, I'm a member of the district executive of our district. I was once part of the general executive of, you know what, our fellowship. And so I want to be sure I'm in a Pentecostal church. And everybody said, yeah. Canadian Amen A. There you go. And so we're going to go to a scripture in one of the earliest times where God revealed himself. And this scripture is found in Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. And I would like us to go start with verse 1 all the way to 14. Let's read it. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant or slave named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children, so go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abram agreed with Sarah's proposal. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar and the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew that she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarai with contempt or disrespect. Then Sarai said to Abram, "This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me." And Abram replied, "Look, she is your servant, so deal with her as you see fit." Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. And the angel said to her, "Hagar, Sarah's servant, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," and she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." Then he added, "I will give you more descendants that you can count, more than you can imagine." And the angel also said, "You are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael," which means "God hears. For the Lord has heard your cry of distress. And this son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives." Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, "You are the God who sees me," or El Roi in Hebrew. So that well was named Beer Lahai Roi, which means "well of the living one who sees me." So the title of my message this morning is El Roi, the God who sees. Now Hagar was Abram and Sarah's slave, someone with no great value in society. She was not an employee. She was a slave, a property that was owned. Looked down and treated as a property, she had no value in their eyes other than someone to be used for their own selfish gain, to manipulate God's plan to provide an heir at that moment. Because after 10 years of receiving the promise that, you know what, Abraham and Sarah will become, you know what, the father and the mother of a great nation, they still had no children. And the years were progressing and they were getting old. When God spoke to Abraham, he was 75 years old and Sarai was 66. So after 10 years, Abraham is now 85 and Sarai is now 76. I need Ethan's help for math. And so aside from the fact that they were already old, Sarah could not bear a child. She was barren. So the odds were stacked against this couple. And so now they wanted to do it their way. They wanted to do it the way they think it should be done. And that is to use Hagar to provide a child for both Abram and Sarai. Hagar, being a dispensable slave, was easily disposed by her masters. They can do whatever they want to do with her, and they can even dispose her if they want to. But her story reveals the kind of God that many rejects or the down and out will love and trust. Abraham and Sarah, after a long wait for the promised child by God, decided to do it their way. But in the process, Hagar became involved. A slave. A slave that was actually a property to own. Something, someone that was not considered to be a person, but a thing. And in the process, yes, she got pregnant, but the slave started thinking that she's now at the same level as her masters. Even probably higher, especially producing a child for Master Abraham. And in the process, thought for a moment that she can actually disrespect her mistress, her owner. And so Sarai treated her harshly. And in the process, she ran away. But it's out in the desert that something amazing happened. The place of barrenness, the place where there's hardly any life that exists. There she experienced the God of her master Abraham, revealing himself to Hagar, who is actually in a particular predicament and situation. A difficult one. A difficult one to overcome. A difficult one to conquer, a difficult one even to process. When God found Hagar at the well, the first word that was out of his mouth through that angel was calling her by name, Hagar. Hagar. He called her by name. When no one else cared enough to show Hagar any decency, God did, and he called her by name. And her encounter with the God of her master revealed El Roi, the God who sees, not just to her, but to all who will believe in God after her. First thing that I would like to share this morning is that that encounter brought this truth to our attention, that God sees your situation. Even though there is nobody who cares, even though there's nobody who sees, even though you think for a moment, is there anybody who understands what I'm going through? If there's anybody who sees what I'm going through, I want you to know this. What matters is that God sees what you're going through. God sees your situation. When the angel found her, it was not that the angel was trying to look for her. You know, God is omniscient. God knows where we are at all the time. And God is omnipresent. He is present here at the same time he's present in Winnipeg. And he's present in the Philippines. He's present in Cuba. He's present in Mars. He is omniscient and omnipresent. The statement that says that he found her means that God was willing to meet with her at her lowest point. God was already ahead. God was already there. So the God who sees us, he's not trying to look for us. He already found us. He already knows where we're headed. He knows that we're headed down the road that is not good for us. And he is there at our, you know what? Intersections of life. He's there waiting for us. And he's willing to meet with us. It doesn't matter whether rich or poor, we are white, brown, blue, yellow, or whatever color that you may have on your skin. It doesn't matter what your status in life is. I want you to know this. God is going to go to our level and meet with us. God sees your situation. The pastor doesn't know everything. We're not omniscient. And so don't expect us to know how to pray for you without telling us what your problem is. I know there are some people, they have the gift of the word of knowledge, but not all the time that they are functioning in that gift. It's all by the grace of God and the prompting of the Spirit. But God knows what you're going through. I know sometimes members of the church, they feel bad that I don't know what's happening in their lives. And there are even, in our church that I meet in public, that I even know that they attend our church. I don't even remember everybody's names. And so we pretty much have a large church with six sites, and there are just really shameful moments that I would meet somebody in Superstore or in Walmart, and I don't remember. They look familiar where I've met them. And it will be in a very ugly situation when they ask questions that they should not have asked. And said, "Hey, what church are you part of? You look familiar. We go to your church." So I need to have another question to, save myself from a situation that I don't want to be. And I said, "What site are you part of?" There's actually five sites at the moment. So probably I'll be excused if he or she is actually part of another site. So although it's IWC, International Worship Center. "Oh, yeah, we are part of your site, St. James Church." And another question to try to bail me out. It said, "How long have you been attending church?" "Oh, we've been part of your church for 3 or 4 years now." And I don't even know. What a shame. What a bad pastor I am, right? No, thank you very much. I love you guys. But God sees. God knows. We're not all-knowing as pastors, especially as we grow older. Right? I'm 34. Liars go to church. Right? As we grow older, we a little bit forget. But you know what? Sorry, I'm old too. Sorry for those people that are offended by now. That's just, I don't know about that. But God knows us. God knows every second of our lives, every fiber of our being. He understands what we're going through. He sees us at our lowest point. When we hit rock bottom, God is the one who wants to have a meeting with you, to have a fellowship with you. Isn't that amazing? We see people suffering, but sometimes we don't know how to really care for them. We suffer, people around us, even at church, even family members, they don't know how to, care for us. They just see us suffering. And other times there are people who just don't see what we're going through, even though it's the obvious thing in our lives. You got it? But yet, I want you to know this, regardless of what's happening in our society, regardless of what's happening in our families, the way people are treating us, whether it's nice or good or bad or ugly, it doesn't matter because God sees your situation. God sees it. He can see it clearly. And He's way ahead of the game in His life of caring and helping and saving and loving us. LROE is not blind to your plight. Your situation has not taken Him by surprise, although it may have taken us by surprise. The God who sees, the God who knows all things, the God who is present everywhere, nothing escapes His divine notice or attention. Why? He doesn't just see us. He cares about us. He is a heavenly Father. One of the most revolutionary teachings of Jesus Christ was to reveal God as a Father. Although there are few scriptures in the Old Testament that said God is a Father, but Jesus made it really, really clear that God is a Heavenly Father. That He cares. He even talked about the parable of the prodigal son or the lost son. Not just saying that God is a Father, but God is a Father who really loves and cares about His children. Even the prodigals. Even those who disrespect their Heavenly Father, even those who decided to misuse what God has given them, even those who ran away from their Heavenly Father. When the prodigal son came back to his father's household, the father was waiting every day. And when he saw his son from afar, this is a revelation of how an awesome father we have. The father ran towards the son. Well, probably in the Filipino context, yeah, fathers will run towards an erring, rebellious son with a stick. You got it? I was raised in such a way that discipline is whatever my father found along the way hits me. Or even my mother for that matter, even if it's a steel pipe or anything. So it was really anti-culture. It was really not the norm. Not just religiously, but even culturally, for Jesus to talk about our Heavenly Father is like this. Even if we have wasted His resources, even if we have disrespected Him, even if we have run away from Him, the moment we return an inch in the direction of Him, He will run towards us and hug us and kiss us and show compassion and forgiveness and love. He doesn't just see what we're going through, He cares. He's a father. Oh, you know what? I love the fact that, you know, when I became a parent, it was a different story. Now, especially that now that we're grandparents, a different story. We always want our kids to be close to us, grandkids to be close to us. And when they have a boo-boo, where do they go? Because they know they're going to be kissed. The boo-boo is going to be kissed. They would come, Mommy, I have a boo-boo. Daddy, I have a boo-boo. Grandpa, I have a boo-boo. Right? Because they know they can come to us when they're in pain, when they're struggling, when they have a boo-boo or whatever they're going through. Because they know that we are loving parents. They know that we're loving grandparents. Right? Especially if you write them in your will. They will run to us all the time. You got it? So if you want your grandparents to be close to you, show them the will. Here it is. You got 20%. Amen? Well, we're wiser than kids. If you want to have a close relationship with kids, your grandkids, show the will. Just don't sign it yet. Just to keep them good. Amen? That's what you call, if you're a Christian, holy manipulation. Amen. So God doesn't just sees our situation. He cares. He loves us. He's a Heavenly Father, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, and at the same time, a Heavenly Father. You know, the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, is just revolutionary. The religious people of that time, they didn't think of God as a father. They think of God not as a father, but a God that is holy and righteous. And we really need to please this hard-to-please deity, this God. But a father? Our Father. That's how it starts. And the rest is just, my goodness, the blessings of having God as our Father. God sees your situation. And God sees your pain. People may see our situation, but doesn't mean that they know our pain. I'll be talking about Manitoba. We're famous for being friendly. If you see our license plate, friendly Manitoba. And true enough, you know, we Manitobans would always say hi to you. How are you? How are you doing? Okay. I think they have done a survey who's actually the friendliest province in Canada, and Manitobans win. Praise God. You can now move to Manitoba if you want to have friendly neighbors. But I have a friend who's from Ontario, who's a pastor now in Winnipeg, and he said, you guys easily greet. It's not like in Toronto that we do what you guys do here or in Vancouver. You guys easily greet even strangers. Like, hey, how are you? How are you doing? But, you know, he said that doesn't happen in Toronto, where I came from. But what I've discovered, you easily say those things and greetings, but you don't go deep. Not a lot of people would go deep. Because if somebody responds and say, other than the usual, hi, how are you? And says, I'm good. Then we're done, right, with that response. But what if somebody says, I'm not good? Will you spend time with that person and get to know what he or she is going through? Do you have the time? And not just time, but do you have the compassion and the care? Like even in church, you know, we say hi. You know, hi, hey, how are you? God bless you. you know, and good to see you. How are you doing? And again, when somebody says, I'm not fine, will you spend time with that person? I forgot the name of a president, and the president of the United States kind of like shook hands with a lot of people in a certain banquet and event. And, you know, he just said a lot of nice things and stuff to those people and say, hey, good to see you. Nice hair, good looks, and all kinds of stuff. And they all responded in a positive way, in a courteous way. Thank you, Mr. President. Until one day he got sick and tired of saying all the same things. He started, you know what, shaking hands with a couple of people and said, hi, good morning. I want you to know that I just killed my mother. Couple of people shook hands with him, and he said those things, and he said, that's good, Mr. President. Nobody was listening. You think for a moment people are listening. Again, it doesn't matter whether people knows what your pain is or not, or people are listening to you or not. I want you to know this. The person that matters sees your pain. Not just sees our situation. He sees our distresses, our pain, our anguish. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is when Paul said that Jesus was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Why? He became a human being and was tempted at all points and yet without sin. Meaning he can sympathize with us. He's not a king in an ivory tower ruling from afar. He's God who became incarnate, God in human body. And of all places where he was born and he was raised, in notorious places. Not really special or great like Jerusalem. Man, he grew up in a place that's called Nazareth. Can there be any good come out of that place? Meaning he went to the Skid Row. He went into the core area. That's incarnation. To the max. Not just that he became a human being and lived in a palace. He lived amongst the worst. And that's why the Bible said he knows the feelings of our infirmities. He sympathizes. He knows our pain. Doesn't just see our situation. He sees our pain. Before my father passed away in 2007, you know, as a pastor, you need to do your sympathy thing. And I try my very best to sympathize with people who lost a loved one. And I would say sometimes stupid stuff. Sometimes, you know, I say, oh, you're a Christian, right? Thank God your mom is in heaven. And how insensitive of me, right? But the moment my father passed away, like, I didn't want to hear that from anybody, even from Billy Graham. You got this? And I started to research and read stuff about how to really comfort somebody who's grieving the loss of a very close loved one. I said, silence is best. Silence is best. And listen. You got it? So before my father passed away, I didn't know how to comfort people who lost a loved one. I just didn't know. I had not experienced it yet. So I was saying stuff that, I know they were just probably nice to me because I'm their pastor. But some of them probably went home offended. But the moment I experienced losing a father, first, you know, parent who passed away. Oh man, that's a different pain right there. Different kind of pain. Different kind of anguish on the inside of me. And I became more, you know what, knowledgeable in how to sympathize with those who are going through the grief of losing a loved one. You know what I'm talking about? And 3 weeks ago, I lost my mother. And again, you know what? We have to grieve. And the pain is different again when you don't have a parent anymore. And so I believe it's going to help me comfort others better. But at the end of the day, we may not be able to comfort one another the right way, but we can do it to the best of our ability. But I want you to know this, God can comfort us and touch the deepest recesses of our beings like no other. Because he doesn't just see our pain, our situation, he sees our pain. And he feels your pain. He understands what you're going through. And listen to me carefully. Names in the Old Testament have meanings, and they convey messages to reveal the care that God had for Hagar and his unborn son. He gave him the name Ishmael, meaning God hears. God hears our cries. God sees our pain. When nobody sees our situation, nobody cares about us, nobody sees our pain, I want you to know this. You may be by yourself in the wilderness. You are with a good company. His name is El Roi, the God who sees your situation and your pain, and he cares about you. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap, Pentecostals. I don't know why God brought us here, so far from Winnipeg. But I believe God knows that some of you hit rock bottom and you're in distress. And you're probably questioning, is there anybody who sees my pain? I want you to know this. El Roi is here with you. And Ishmael is also here, because he hears your pain. And God brought us here just to let you know that. Whatever you're going through, you are not suffering alone. You have a suffering Messiah who suffered. Isaiah 53 says that he suffered for us. He was bruised for us. He was chastised for us. And he knows our pain. And the good thing about this woman was not just suffering a situation in distress and great anguish. She had no hope, no future. You know that the God who is El Roi is also the God who is Jehovah or Yahweh Rohi, meaning my shepherd. These two names are actually interconnected. It didn't stop that she received comfort. It didn't stop that she received God's consolation or God's, a touch for the moment. The God who sees our situations, our pain, is also the God who sees our future. This worthless slave ran away from her masters and didn't know where to go and what to do with her life. You know, the angel asked her a question, where have you come from and where are you headed? She answered like, I came from my mistress, but I don't know where to go. I have no direction. I have no purpose. I have no destination whatsoever. I'm simply lost. You know, Miles Monroe said that death is not the greatest tragedy in life. It is life without purpose. It is life without direction, without destiny, without meaning. Imagine going for a vacation and you said to your family, you know what? We're going to wherever. Where is wherever? I don't know. Dad, what are the coordinates? Where is our destination? Wherever, whatever. I don't want to be part of that trip. There's going to be a lot of unhappy campers in that car. They're just going around in circles. Just like those Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. But I want you to know this, El Roi is also El Rohi. Yahweh Rohi. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord who is shepherd. He sees our future. This slave, God gave her a ticket. You know what? Ticket out of slavery. She became the matriarch of the Arab people. Guys, your cars, most of you, if you don't have an electric car, you buy gasoline from Arab people. You got that? Before we left for Terrace, I just pumped full tank from Shell. And for the most part, those gasoline came from the Middle East. Children of Ishmael. You got this? It's not just a momentary comfort. It's not just a momentary, guidance. Guys, when God guides, it transcends generations. You're saying amen to something you don't really understand here. When we have problems, we only think of what solution do I need at this moment. When God gives you a solution and guidance, He gives you a solution beyond your lifetime. God wants not just to touch your life, He wants to touch your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. What did God say to her? Your son will also be a great nation. Although there's conflict between the Arabs and the Jews, the sons of Isaac and Ishmael, but at the end of the day, in Christ, we're all one nation and one body. You got that? There's neither Jew nor Gentile. In Christ, we're all the same. See what God can do to a life so down and out, hit rock bottom, who sees our situation, who sees our pain, and yet amazing, 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 He sees our future. If only we will let Him guide us. Now, this is not the first time she ran away. The second time, she got kicked out together with her 14-year-old son named Ishmael. And you know what? And she could not bear the sight of her son about to die. Amazing thing about the story found in Genesis chapter 21 or 22 is that God didn't just hear the cry of Hagar. The Bible said God heard the cry of the boy, Ishmael. A lot of us are crying in anguish because of what has happened to our kids, our grandkids, and some of you may be great-grandkids. I've spoken to one of your youngest men here, Wally, who is turning 98 in August. Huh? Hello, my friend. And he has not just grandkids, but great-grandkids. I hope you will reach an age where you can see your great-great-great-grandkids. Write them in your will as well. So. Like, you know, the God who sees our future doesn't just see your future in your lifetime. He sees the future of your offsprings. Isn't it that the Bible said that those who love God, I will bless them up to 1,000 generations? It's found in Exodus 20. Those who worship other gods, I will curse them up to 4th generation. But those who will worship me, I will bless up to 1,000 generations. Now, my goodness, 1,000 generations, they have already forgotten your name, even though your name is Peter. Like, who's our great, 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 like a rapper, right? Great, 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 great grandfather who lived in Terrace, B.C. His name is what? Peter? Up to 1,000 generations. Are you hearing this? They were just trying to survive. She was just trying to survive. There was no more water or food. And the son was about to die. And yet God came to the picture again. El Roi came to the picture again. And again declared, your son will be the father of a great nation. Because he is also the son of Abraham. See, the blessing of Abraham was not just passed down to Isaac, but passed down to Ishmael. Isn't it that was the promise that God gave in Genesis 12? Although they made a mistake in the process. Another thing that I would like to add to the situation here, really, it's a bleak and dark situation. Imagine the fathers of our faith, the spiritual parents, Sarai and Abraham. They were not even part of the process of helping her. In Ishmael, Abram can only help so much. Gave them food and water, and it ran out. Guys, again, stop looking at human resource. Go to divine source. There's a big difference between resource and source. Source should be your ultimate source, the God that you worship. Don't worship money. Don't worship people. Don't worship the economy. Don't worship anything other than God or anybody other than God. Others should be just resources. My boss is a resource. My company is a resource. My father is a resource. My mother is a resource. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But God is my source. Abraham's resources run out, but God's resources do not run out. And God showed it to her again, the future that He has for Hagar and her son. Imagine the slave now became the matriarch of a great nation. Imagine who's the matriarch of all those who produce most of the oil in the world? A slave. Former slave. Oh my goodness. Messages like this make me laugh. Make me enjoy the goodness of God some more. Because when we're down and out, when we have hit rock bottom, when we find ourselves in a hopeless situation, El Roi is with me. El Roi hears my cry. El Roi is my Jehovah Rohi. He knows my future, and not just my future, but the next generation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You may be filled with the Spirit and born again today. Your children are not yet. Your grandchildren are not yet. Don't worry. God knows the future of your children and your children's children. Keep worshiping God. Keep praying to Jesus, and one day you will see the prodigal. Come to church. Yes. Come to Jesus. I was once a prodigal, bound by drugs from 13 to 16, bound by alcohol from 16 to 19, motivated by hatred and anger and violence. But thank God my mom prayed for the whole family. From my father to the youngest siblings, we all got saved. We all got, you know what, Jesus in our lives. And added to that is the bonus of me becoming a pastor. So when we celebrated my mom's life during the wake, I highlighted the glory of God. That He used a woman in desperation, a woman with no future whatsoever because she was struggling being married to a former gangster or a gangster. And she hit rock bottom many times. But she went and opened up her heart to God and started reading the Bible and started seeing hope in a future that is only made available to those who are willing to let God lead them. And we're now talking in hindsight, seeing what God has done in our lives in the past 40 years. And I've been a Christian now for 35 years. I've been a pastor for 32 years. And it's all because when my mom was in that, at the bottom of the barrel, she encountered the same God of Hagar, El Roi, and Jehovah Rohi, who guided her and us into the future that God has for us. The same God in the Bible is the same God today. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is revealed fully in the person of Jesus Christ. And that is why if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have El Roi. You don't have El Roi. You don't have the God of the Bible. But if you have Jesus Christ and you have surrendered your life to Him as your Lord and Savior, not just a mental thing, not just, oh, I believe in Jesus. And you know, there's a lot of Filipinos who believe in Jesus because we're predominantly Roman Catholics. But it doesn't mean that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. There's a lot of Canadians who pray to God. Survey said there's around 76 to 78 Canadians who pray. But it doesn't mean that when you pray to this deity or you pray to Jesus, you pray to God, doesn't mean that you actually have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. If you pray to the Christian God, are you hearing what I'm saying? Even in movies, there's a lot of people who believe in Jesus. They use it as a cuss word. From Tom Cruise to Tom Hanks to Brad Pitt and Brad Armpit. All kinds of pits. They use the name of the Lord in vain. They know Jesus. You got it? Some people are even named Jesus in Mexico, a drug lord. So imagine, what's your name? Jesus. And then he's heavily tattooed, and he's a drug lord. It doesn't mean that you have his name, you know his name, you mention his name, you believe in Jesus. I've studied in a Catholic school. I went through Christian schools. You can have all the badges of Christianity. It doesn't mean that he is your Lord and Savior until you have surrendered your life to him fully. I don't care if you go to church every day. Live here if you want to. Amen. Free of rent, Pastor Rob. But that doesn't make you a Christian. You know, the definition of Christianity or Christian, remove I-A-N from Christian, it means I am nothing without Christ. I am nothing without Christ. But when I have Christ in my life, then the God of the Bible is in me. And He reveals Himself to me at every turn, at every moment, if I'm willing to listen. You know the name Yahweh? It's that's the more appropriate use of the name of God, which is Lord in English, capitalized L-O-R-D. But in the real Hebrew, the real Hebrew name of God is Y-H-W-H. They just added some consonants and then Latinized in the Middle Ages, they made it Jehovah. But you know the meaning of Yahweh or Y-H-W-H? It's not just that He is Lord and Master. He is the self, listen to me, revealing one. What does it mean? He wants to reveal Himself to us. Every step of the way, every circumstances, every situation, every predicament, the highs and the lows, Yahweh wants to reveal Himself to you and me. He's pursuing us, even though we're running away from Him. He's constantly pursuing us, trying to reveal Himself to us. The question is, do we want to get to know Him? And the moment we get to know Him, oh my goodness, what kind of a faith life that would become. The same thing that Jesus said, have faith in God. El Roi, El Rohi, El Shaddai, the Almighty One. You know what? Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. All of those names revealed in the Old Testament are all revealed in one person, Jesus. You know the meaning of Jesus or Joshua? God is my salvation. God is my Savior. Not Justin Trudeau, not the conservative leader of the conservative party, not the leader of the NDP, not even the pastor of my church, not even the district superintendent who's a good guy whose name is Ken Russell, a good friend of mine. But you know what? Jesus is my Savior. God is my Savior, my salvation. Isn't that amazing? You know what my last name is? Josue. It's Spanish for Joshua. God is my salvation. And every time I mention that name, it rings a bell in my heart. God of the Bible is my Savior, my salvation, my deliverer, my provider, my shepherd, my everything, my healer. Are you hearing what I'm saying, people? I hope you have spiritual ears this morning. What a God we have in Jesus. What a God we have in Christ. Let me wrap this up. Do you feel you're invisible? Do you think nobody cares about your life, your situation, your pain? Do you feel you're a nobody with no great future? Forget about your feelings. Put your faith in El Roi, in the person of Jesus Christ. And He will see you through your predicament and bring you to your great future for His glory and for His honor. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap here. Let's give the Lord praise. If you're here this morning and you have not yet received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have not yet surrendered your life to Him, you have not yet believed that His death and resurrection are the only way or ways to be able to be forgiven, to have the hope of eternal life, and to be reconnected to God as our Father, then today is the day of your salvation. Simply repent of your sins. Repent of your independence from God. And surrender your life to Jesus Christ. If that's you, while every eyes are closed, so that nobody is looking who's raising their hands or not, okay, I'm the only one who can do that. While your eyes are closed, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, can you please raise up your hand? There's a hand up there, down there, up here, the front. There's lots of hands. Okay? Thank you. Thank you. Okay? Can you please follow this prayer and mean it from your heart? And let me tell you, the God of the Bible in the person of Jesus will enter your heart and take over your life and guide you every step of the way. Say it with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you for your love for that you died on the cross for me, for the penalty of my sins, so that I can be forgiven of my sins and reconciled to God my Father. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I need you as my Savior. I ask for forgiveness for all of my sins. And I turn my life over to your control. I surrender my life to you. I ask you to come in into my life to become my Lord and Savior. Thank you for your loving kindness, your grace and mercy. I will follow you all the days of my life. You are my El Roi, and you are my Yahweh Rohi, my shepherd. Thank you, God. Amen. Come on, let's give these people a round of applause. Welcome to the family of God. And whoever invited you here, you know what? Please tell them that you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you're part of the church, please tell the leadership of the church so they can actually help you grow in your newfound faith and relationship with Jesus Christ. But this morning, I would like to have some time of praying for you. If you are suffering an anguish or distress or pain, you're going through some difficult situations and you need prayers, I would like you to please come to the front. Well, singers are singing The Goodness of God. That's a good song. Okay? We can sing that. And if you need prayers, the leaders of the church are here at the front, and we would love to pray for you. You guys do that here in your church, right? This is Pentecostal. We lay hands on people. Amen. I'm in the right place in Terrace, BC. Praise God. Okay? Anybody who needs prayers, you're struggling, you hit rock bottom, but you believe now in the God who sees your situation, your pain, and your future. You don't know what to do with life as well. You feel like you're hopeless. You don't have any direction. Come to the front, and I will pray for you and some of the leaders here. Please come if you need prayers. God bless you.